Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you, our listeners, hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and if you have questions or issues you'd like to talk about, well, we cordially invite you to call right now. If it's 3 p.m. Central, it's Basic Gospel Live, and we want to hear directly from you at 844-322-2742. Whether you're listening live or to a delayed broadcast, the number is the same in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, friends, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thank you, Bob. I wanted to read this passage out of the book of Romans. And by the way, we're starting to study the book of Romans on our Sunday morning live Facebook feature. That's every Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Time, and we certainly encourage you and invite you to join us this Sunday morning. So we started the book of Romans last week, and we went through chapter 1, verses 1 through 17. And these last two verses, 16 and 17, most of us are familiar with it, but this is really the truth that kind of unlocks the door and really unleashes the power of God's grace in our lives and really sets us on the right course for how to live the Christian life. Mm-hmm. Now, the nature of the Christian life does not change as circumstances change, and we need to realize that. So what Paul says here is a very timely message to us right here and now. It is not a time to give in to fear and panic. It's not a time to begin to follow the ways of this world or to conform to the patterns of this world. Mm-hmm. It really is a time for us to live out what Paul is saying right here. Now, this is the message, this is the truth that started the Protestant Reformation. This is the truth that opened Martin Luther's eyes. I mean, he was in the priest's confessional day in, day out for hours upon hours, confessing every single thought, every single misdeed, whatever could come to mind, he was trying to confess it in order to get right with God. Yeah. And then he started reading the book of Romans, and he got down to this, that this particular passage, and man, his life was never the same. It opened his eyes to the truth, and he recognized that he had been justified by faith in the living Christ. Yeah. That is the story. So in verse 16, Paul says this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." And he wasn't. Boy, when he caught wind of what this message was all about, I mean, he tore off wherever he could go and proclaimed the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I mean, after he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, when they dragged him to the city, and as soon as his eyesight was restored and God had given him his assignment, man, he went out into the city to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, trying to persuade people everywhere that this Christ was truly who he claimed to be, mm-hmm. and that he did die for our sins, and that he was raised to life so that we could experience eternal life through him. So Paul was not ashamed of that good news of Jesus Christ. And he says this, "For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." This message, this story concerning Christ Jesus, the fact that he died for our sins, the fact that he was buried, the fact that on the third day he was raised back to life, within that message is the very power of God. Mm-hmm. That contains the power of God. You know, scientists are trying to split atoms, and in doing so to unleash this mass power that is contained within. Well, this story concerning Jesus has the very power of God in it. And when we proclaim it, that power of God goes forth. And what does it do? It brings life to those who are dead in sin. Talk about power. There is no power on earth that is able to overcome death. And yet here's the gospel message that contains that power within it. Now, if we try to water down the gospel, if we try to make it palatable to those, if we try to dumb it down or make people feel good with it, mm-hmm. we're robbing the message of its power. Yeah. So let's preach it. Let's get it out there, undiluted, pure. Just tell the story and leave the results to God. Why? Because in that message is the power of God. Now, it's for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Mm-hmm. So there's no way that we could be made right in God's sight through obedience to the law. Only through the law we are given the knowledge of sin. That's what we learn from the law. It cannot make us righteous. It cannot impart life. That takes the power of God, that power that's contained in this message. Yeah. And we receive it by faith. For as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. So how do we live as Christians who have experienced the power of God in taking us from death and making us alive together with Christ? We live this life in exactly the same way we received it, by faith. The righteous shall live by faith. So what is God calling you to do right now in this coronavirus pandemic? To live by faith. That's what he's calling you as a believer to do, to live by faith. Now, this particular verse, the righteous shall live by faith, is an Old Testament verse. Mm-hmm. The prophet Habakkuk wrote it in his prophecy. The righteous shall live by faith. Well, Paul quotes it here in Romans chapter 1. He quotes it also in Galatians chapter 3, and then the writer of Hebrews quotes it in chapter 10, verse 38 of his epistle, of his letter. So we see it three different times. Well, here the Apostle Paul is focusing on the word righteous, the fact that through faith in Jesus Christ, we have been made righteous, and we have the opportunity to express that righteousness out there in the world by faith.
By faith.
This is good news, folks. So cling to it. Yeah. Let this be the anchor for your soul. And whatever life throws your way, let this be your guide. Let this be what shapes your thinking and shapes the way you handle it. What? The righteous shall live by faith.
That is good news, Bob. Thank you for sharing. And this is Basic Gospel, everybody, where you hear this good news every day. And we hope that you're with us every day to partake of it. Well, we have open lines for you at 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. And friends, your gifts to Basic Gospel help us take the love of Jesus to an untold number of people, both here in North America and literally around the world, every day. Every time someone responds to the gospel they hear about on Basic Gospel, well, you have a part in that. And our thanks to everyone who gives to support the ongoing ministry and message of Basic Gospel. When you give this month, we want to send you the message entitled, When God Is For You, an in-depth look at the book of Romans, chapter 8. It's a terrifically encouraging message in light of current events. Bob, I love the first couple of three verses of that. Well, I love the whole thing, but there is therefore now no condemnation in Jesus Christ, and it's just a powerful, powerful passage there, and I know that you go into it in depth. So, friends, we want you to have it. Click donate when you visit basicgospel.net, and be sure to request your copy of When God Is For You. That's basicgospel.net. Well, we had this call, Bob, that came in overnight. Let's listen.
Yes, my name's Roger, and I'm calling. I have a question. It's in Matthew 28:19, I believe, where it says, Jesus tells him to go out and baptize all nations in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. What is the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost? Thank you.
Well, Roger, that's a great question. We know that God's name is I Am Who I Am. When Moses asked him, who should I tell the people who sent me? To do this, to lead them out of Egypt and take them to the promised land, God said to him, tell them this, I am who I am, has sent you to them. And he said, that's my name that should be remembered forever. And then Jesus, in a conversation with the Pharisees, he said, before Abraham was, I am. So he claimed the same name and the Holy Spirit in the same way. So they are the perpetual I am. So always present for us, and they're always who they are. So their essence, their character, nothing changes about God. And so he hears our cry, and he answers with a plan to save. So this plan to save has always been a part of who he is, a right. part of his story, a part of his heart toward mankind. And we respond and cry out and show our distress and those sort of things. And in doing so, we get to see what God had in mind for us all along. Mm-hmm. So when we are baptized into his name, it simply means we're identifying with him. We're saying we're no longer identified with the world out there. We're no longer identified with the things that the world says will make us happy. We're identified with the one true God, yes. whose name is the great I Am. Mm-hmm. So when we baptize, now water baptism is an essential for salvation. It's not where someone is regenerated or where someone's sins are washed away. That happens through the shed blood of Jesus Christ and through his resurrection. Yes. So once someone has been saved, once someone has been identified with the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, then they celebrate that, or they mm-hmm. can celebrate that through that ordinance of water baptism. And so we're saying in that this person is now identified with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the yeah. great three in one. Mm-hmm. Why? Because God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit all were in cahoots together, conspiring together to save us. And they all had a part. There's the calling of God the Father. There's the shedding of the blood and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then there's the regenerative work of the Holy Spirit. So we see they all have a hand in this salvation mm-hmm. that we experience. Yeah. So when we're saved and we want to celebrate that, we're saying we're identified with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, that Godhead who saved me, who is now living in me, and in whom I'm identified with now and forever.
Yes, indeed. Well, welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis. And Roger, thank you for reaching out to us. We hope that's a help to you.
Yes, indeed. Let's go and talk to Mary Jo in Louisville. Hi, Mary Jo.
Hello. I had trouble getting this out to Stephen, but this was a lady in the Old Testament who was claiming to be God, and God had put up with it for so long that finally he said enough, and I guess he just spoke to her back then and to her followers. And he said, go make a pile of wood and get six, I think it was large wine jugs, you know, the stoneware, and fill it with water. And then she had her servants pour the water on the wood, and God made it burn, but was it like the burning bush?
Well, Mary Jo, I think the story you're referencing is in 1 Kings chapter 18, and Elijah the prophet confronts the Baal and the worship of Baal. And so what was taking place, Mary Jo, was that the people of Israel were starting to bow down to these foreign gods. They were worshiping these foreign gods. They were thinking in their hearts and minds about God, the one true God, what have you done for me lately? And so they were looking out to the nations around them, and they were choosing to bow the knee to these foreign gods. And Elijah was saying, oh, I'm the only one, and blah, blah, blah. We know some of that story.
Woe is me.
Yeah, but then finally Elijah says, enough is enough, and you need to make a choice. And you need to make a choice today, either bow the knee to Baal and these foreign gods, or believe that God is the one true God. And so he set up this contest, so to speak, between Baal and God the Father. And when the prophets of Baal tried to call upon him to respond and do the fire, mm-hmm. They did nothing. They did not hear. They did not respond. They did not act. Why? Because they're not real. they have no power. But when Elijah prayed and did what he was supposed to do, then God sent down fire. And so that was to prove that he truly was the one true God, and that caught the people's attention. And so that's what that story is all about. And it's timely for us because the world continues to offer us things that we can bow down and worship, that we can deem important as for a source of life, for meaning and purpose. And we know that only meaning and purpose can come through a relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. So there's a lot of people out there, Mary Jo, that you might meet every day, and they're worshiping the money that they have. They're worshiping the friends that they have. They're worshiping the prestige or power or any of those sort of things. And what they're experiencing is emptiness. When they get in real trouble, money can't save them. Their friends can't save them, and all of that. Only God can. And so this story is a timely story for us to realize that what we have in Jesus is enough. We don't have to look outside of Jesus Christ for anything as far as we as human beings are concerned.
Okay. But we just don't know if it was like the burning bush. It just doesn't say that.
Well, God sent the fire, so it came from him. So it was a miracle. And he was showing forth his presence through that he's not just a figment of man's imagination, but he's real and he has power and can act on our behalf. So the fire was definitely something that was sent from him.
Uh-huh.
And it was miraculous how that happened.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much.
Well, you are so welcome. Thanks for your call.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, let's go to Andrew, listening to us in North Carolina. Hi, Andrew.
Yes, good afternoon. It's always good to hear you. And I was enjoying your Sunday broadcast, too. That's real inspiring. But what I'm talking about, too, I was listening and I went back and read an article that you had on one of your guests, March the 26th, Larry Alex Talton, I think.
Yes.
And I was seeing what he was saying about his article, and seemed as me, as I was reading that article, he has been, in the way the article was written, like he was downplaying the coronavirus. And I was looking at some other, you know, Christian ministers who are still meeting with their congregation. And then they're having those people go out, having the possibility of spread. And I watch Kenneth Copeland Sunday, too, because I'm home, so I get a chance to listen to different broadcasts. And what he did, he said he could heal people through the phone. And also he said that he was going to send, as of 12 o'clock, the coronavirus back to the pits of hell where it come from. So we're having a lot of ministers and people who aren't really, in my opinion, doing what they should be doing and telling their congregations about what they should be doing. And a lot of people, because of these people's status, they believe what they're saying is true, and they believe not having faith by doing what, you know, the government is saying now, like the way it is with President Trump. He's changed his mind so many different times about this. But what happened, we have to believe that this is a serious event, because a lot of people are dying, have the capacity to die. And I was looking at Larry was talking about about him dying, he's not too much worried about it, but the members of his family, because I'm 69 years old, so I can't be running out here.
Well, Andrea, as far as Larry is concerned, I think he started his article with, hey, we need to, you know, follow the advice of the experts, and if they're saying to quarantine or shelter in place, we need to do that. And I know Larry, and he's certainly doing that. He's doing that.
But the article started, but when it got down, because one of the things he said this is scientifically and medically and scientifically about the quarantine, this is ludicrous. You know, I was reading the whole article, and because I listened to when you first start talking about the distancing too, but as you got on talking to him about the article, I was getting the consideration and understanding that you thought what he was saying was true, because in the article, what he deals with is talks about how many people get killed by accidents, how many people died in the continent of Africa, and so many things. And I just wanted to let
people
about being truth.
Yeah, well, Andrew, I think all of that is true. I mean, there's lots of ways that this world throws stuff at us that can take our lives. I mean, we have a whole list of things that people die from year in and year out, and so that we need to have that perspective, and we need to recognize that this particular coronavirus is something that we've never seen before. The reason why there's so much uncertainty, and the reason why there's so much, hey, we've got to isolate, we've got to distance, we've got to stay at home, is to buy some time so that people can start to figure out how it actually is transmitted. Are there things that we can throw at it medically that will, take the symptoms away or cure it? So that's why the people are responding as they are, and that's why we need to take these things serious, so that those who know how to research and know how to produce vaccines or know how to produce medicines can have the time to put something out there on the marketplace that will be effective. So that's the deal. That's why we're trying to flatten the curve, to buy some time for our healthcare system, buy some time for the scientists and the medical researchers, so that something can come to market that's going to be beneficial, that can nip this thing in the bud once and for all. So, Andrew, I mean, as far as our broadcast is concerned, we're telling people to take this thing seriously. We're telling people to not fear, to not panic, to trust the Lord, to walk by faith day in and day out, to thank God for meeting their needs today and trust Him to meet their needs tomorrow, to give them the patience and the wisdom, and to apply those, and then to take advantage of this unprecedented opportunity, Andrew, to proclaim the hope that we have as believers in Christ. The world needs our story.
Amen.
The world needs our message. That's what we're encouraging people to do as Basic Gospel, and as me personally. That's what I'm encouraging people to do.
Because if we did, it'd be hard to tell the story.
That's right. Yeah.
Thank you again. Y'all have God blessed day. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Andrew.
Yes,
bye-bye.
Indeed. Well, friends, we invite you to join the live video stream of this program each day from either Facebook or YouTube. Pick your means of distribution there, Facebook or YouTube. You'll find direct links at the top of our homepage at basicgospel.net. But again, thanks for being with us today for Basic Gospel, everybody. If you have questions or concerns, give us a call at 844-322-2742. We love hearing from you. Again, the number 844-322-2742. Remember, friends, we need your help as we get into the new month, that we would love to have you partner with us at Basic Gospel. You can donate now or anytime at basicgospel.net. And to say thanks, we'll send you a copy of our new resource, When God Is For You. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.